It literally feels like I'm preaching to the choir tonight. So let's begin with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to be here tonight in your presence. Dear Lord, we thank you for everything that you've done for us. We thank you for what you're going to do for us, dear Lord. I ask that you lead and you guide me consciously and unconsciously into exactly what you need me to say for the message that this group needs to hear tonight, dear Lord. And I thank you and I praise you. It's in your holy name. Amen. So the last time I was up here, I began speaking about the five things that you can open by tithing, the five things that you can get by using by tithing. That's a key to unlock some things. And I've got five of them. We talked about two of them, which I'm going to revisit, and we're going to get to the other three. The last two that we talked about the first time was when you tithe, God becomes your provider. So you're saying to God, I'm going to give you my tithe. I trust you to be my provider. No matter what form it may come in, it may not come in money. It may not come in as the thing that you think it should look like. It could just be a way that God puts out there for whatever your need is. He makes it happen. Tithing hasn't made me wealthy, but it has made me very blessed. Blessed beyond my wildest imaginations. Blessed doesn't mean money. It doesn't mean fortune and fame and all that. Blessed means God has met every need and he has showed out and he gives me exactly what I want, exactly when I need it. And he does way more than I ever could have thought of. The second thing that we talked about is when you tithe, God becomes your protector. So Malachi 3:11, your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. So what he's saying right there is he's going to keep Satan from your crops. He's going to keep Satan away from your things. So in Malachi, he's saying, if you are tithing, then this is what I'm going to give to you. I'm going to protect you. So we're trusting God, and given that tithe, we're trusting that he is going to protect us from Satan. You know, if we're not paying our tithes, sometimes some things start happening, and it allows Satan to attack us, and it allows Satan to cause that doctor visit, or to cause that car breakup, or to cause the house, the home repair, the refrigerator fall apart. Those things start happening in our world because we're not trusting God to be our protector. We also can plead the blood of Jesus over our finances. That is another form of protection that God gives to us. So if you're doing that, then you're on your way. So Psalms 34:19. The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time. So I stood on this last time because I think that a lot of times Christians think that we are in a plastic bubble, that God's got this magic wand that he just waves and makes everything go away. But that's not the case. We still have to go through things. We still have to do these trials and tribulations. It helps us learn. It helps us get what we need. But what God said, what I heard in this verse is, I didn't hear some, I didn't hear a few, I didn't hear many. I heard he will bring you through all of them. All of them he's going to get you through. So if you're going through something, if you're a tither, and I'm not saying if you're not a tither, he's not going to protect you, but this just is one of those keys that helps keep that open for you. But if you are doing this, God is going to get you to the other side. I find comfort in knowing if I'm going through something, God is going to get me all the way through to the other side. It may hurt a little bit, but I'm going through. So now we're going to get to the three that we didn't talk about last time. And I really like this one because I hadn't thought about this. When you tithe, you become a participant with God. So when The third benefit of tithing is that you stop being a spectator and become a participant. You will not feel a part of a church until you become a participant by giving of your finances and time. Now, I'm going to bundle both of those in this, because finances and time, giving your time to the church is a form of offering. You're giving that up. So just like you get paid at work, think of this, your work that you do in the church is a form of that offering. You're giving up that payment that you normally would make at your job, but you're giving it to God. No matter how good sermons are, no matter how good the fellowship is, the church will not become fully alive for you and impact your life until you start paying your tithes. When you withhold your tithes, you rob God and hurt yourself. So we want to make sure we're participating in church. We're becoming a participant with God by paying our tithes. So I'm going to try not to butcher this. But in Numbers 18, I had never read this story. So this kind of opened my eyes up. But in Numbers 18, it talks about where God tells Aaron for him, his family, and the Levites to take care of the church. They were given the task of the upkeep. They served as priests. God gave Aaron and his family very strict rules and instructions. And if they weren't followed, or if someone came in and did something bad to the church or disgraced something, the penalty was death. So this was serious, and Aaron took it seriously. And God told Aaron, for your work, you can have what's left over of the tithes and the offerings that were paid to God from the people of Israel. So, and then what Aaron was supposed to do is take that money and pay the Levites and his family who were working in the church to keep it safe and to keep it nice and clean and to be priests. So as the tithing and offerings came in, Aaron was able to do more and more and more of the Lord's work. So he then became a participant with God, because he was taking that offering and he was taking it out to do the Lord's work. So when we pay our tithes, the pastors are led by God on how to help our community or to help other people. So as we're paying our tithes, we're saying, here, pastors, we know that you're led consciously and unconsciously. Therefore, we become a participant because we are helping do God's work by paying our tithes. So the fourth one, when you tithe, you qualify for God's promises. And I don't know if you guys know, this book right here is full of promises. There's so many promises in here. But if you're tithing, you are most definitely qualifying for all of these promises. I'm just going to kind of go through a couple of them. Proverbs 3:9-10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. It didn't say some of your crops. It didn't say a few of your crops. It said all. So any kind of income that comes in, you should be tithing on it. You should be tithing on your gross, not your net. It's got to be gross. Now, I know that's hard for some people to hear, and that's God's job to convict and to let you know what you need to be doing. But it says in this verse all. It doesn't say some, it says all. So Luke 6:38 says, give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Remember those words for a minute. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So what God's trying to say is he wants to bless you. He wants to make your finances last for more than just the month. He wants you to be able to have abundance and for it to last and go a long time. Many people think that the government needs to take the taxes off the gas, or the government needs to do this, or somebody needs to do this so that we can keep our funds. But us as Christians, we should be looking to God. We should just be, we shouldn't be worried about all of that, how we're going to save money, how the government's going to help us save money, or, you know, I think I should have got this much back on my tax return. No, I trust God to get me what I need to get. I promise it's more effective than anybody else, the government or whomever, that can, it's way better. If you tithe, God says he will multiply your gifts. So, and I mean, I know some people might say, well, how does he do that? How can he multiply? Well, I can tell you this. I don't know. All I know, I don't know how he does it. I know it says it, and I know I've lived it, and I'm pretty sure most of you out there have lived it. He just does it. I don't know how he multiplies it. He just does it. So we're going to go back to the Luke 6:38. Give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So I want to read this same verse in the Message, because it really opened my eyes. I've always read this verse to have to do with finances. I've never read it this way, and I hope it opens your eyes. Don't pick on people. Jump on their failures. Criticize their faults. Unless, of course, you want the same treatment. Don't condemn those who are down. That hardness can boomerang. Be easy on people. You'll find life a lot easier. Give away your life. You'll find life given back. But not merely given back. Given back with bonus and blessing. Giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity begets generosity. So it's not just finances. It's in everything we do. We've got to be careful to not be judgmental and to criticize and get on people, because what I saw in that is what I'm handing out or what I'm dishing out is going to come back to me. And I don't want to be treated that way. So I have a question for you. What are you measuring with today? Are you measuring with just one hand? Are you measuring with a bucket? What does your measuring look like? So if we were to plant a maple tree in a bucket, it's not going to get very big, is it? Because it needs a lot of room and space to grow. So just be careful what you're planting in, what you're planting that seed in, because if you're using a little bitty, it's just going to be little. It's just going to be little. So if you want big, you got to plant big. Think big. So Ecclesiastes 11:1 says, cast your bread upon the water, for after many days you will find it again. I didn't read that this verse said, cast your bread upon the water, for after many days it will come back soggy. I didn't read that. It says it will return. It's going to come back to you. It didn't say in what manner or how, but God promises that if we give it, it's going to come back to us. And I don't know about you guys. I don't know of anyone else that promises that. I know my power company doesn't promise that. They don't say, here, if you pay me, I'm going to give it back. The mortgage company doesn't make that promise. You don't see Luke 6:38 written on a lottery ticket either. So are we trusting a lottery ticket more than God? I'm not going to say I've never bought a lottery ticket, but it makes you think. It makes you say, wow, maybe I got to be careful here. So can we trust what the Bible says about salvation? Can we trust what the Bible says about the second coming of Jesus to rapture his church? Can we trust the Bible and what it says about forgiveness of sin? We do. Do we not trust all those things? So why do we have such a hard time trusting what it says about finances? Is it because that finances are something that we can control and that are tangible, we can put our hands on? Why is money such a hard thing to trust God for? As I was looking at all this, one of the things that went through my head was, this is odd, because out of all of those things I just mentioned, the first few, Jesus coming, salvation, those things to me are way more important than money, yet we have such a hard time trusting God with the least of those things, the money part. So we've got to be really cautious in what we're making sure that we're trusting God to be our supplier. So another promise that we have. So James 4:7 says, so humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but you have the authority to speak to poverty and lack. And you know what you can say to it? I watched a sermon on this, and I was in tears watching this sermon because it was awesome. You speak to poverty and lack, and you tell it, it is finished. It is finished. We're done. You got to call it out. And when you do that, when you remind the devil that you're a victor and not a victim, it looses something in the spiritual realm, and the devil flees. He does not like that. You have to get mad at him, and you have to tell him, no, no, poverty, lack, it is finished. I am done with you. And let it go. Let it be. But that's another promise. You have the authority to speak to that lack and to that poverty. I think this is my last promise. In 2 Corinthians 9:8-12, it says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seeds to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. So that's, I don't know about y'all, but that's an awesome promise, because he just said he's just going to keep blessing me and keep blessing me and keep blessing me. I also want to read that in the Message. God can pour out the blessing in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything, more than just ready to do what needs to be done, as one psalmist put it. He throws caution to the wind, giving to the needy in reckless abandon. His right living, right giving ways never run out, never wear out. The most generous God, who gives seed to the farmer that becomes bread for your meals, is more than extravagant with you. He gives you something you can then give away, which grows into full-formed lives, robust in God, wealthy in every way, so that you can be generous in every way, producing with us great praise to God. So if those promises don't make you want to give your tithes, I don't know about you, I want it to come back. Amen. Come back and be more than I could have ever imagined. So the last key is, when you tithe, you learn that tithing pays. So it's going to kind of go back through some of these promises, but the fifth benefit of tithing is that tithing pays. It pays rich dividends to tithe. So rich dividends. That means you're going to get back. God's going to bless you. He's going to give it back to you. And again, I keep saying this, but it's not always money. I think sometimes we always think of it as money, and it's not always money. It's in providing our needs and keeping us safe and giving us our wants, too. We talk about needs all the time, but we have desires of our heart, which he wants to give to us. The paycheck ends before the month ends. Do you want to be set financially free? I'm convinced that your first step to getting on top of your finances is to start by giving God 10% of your income. So let me ask you a question. How can God trust you with more money when you will not manage what he has already given to you? So if we're not managing our money, and if we're not being fiscally responsible, and we're not paying our 10%, then he can't trust you with more. And he wants to. He wants to bless you. He wants to trust you with more. But we've got to be willing to give it to him. I promise I can do more with the 90% than I can with the 100%. Every time, hands down. That 10%, it doesn't even feel like it's gone. God has, he has always blessed, always. It's kind of like when you give in your tithes, you're planting a seed of investment into God's kingdom. So you're planting into God's kingdom, and it's an investment. And I know, I don't know if you guys know like stock markets and stuff, and you're investing in things, and it comes back to you. Well, I promise you, God's kingdom investment pays off way better than the worldly stock market investments. So I want to kind of close with this. If you're not there yet, I get it. But I want to share with you how you can get there. One of the reasons you're not in on it is because you have never been willing to release a tithe back to God. You can make your start by being willing to say, I will tithe for the next 3 months. Just say, I'm going to test God for the next 3 months. Just challenge yourself. Challenge yourself. If you're not a tither, don't let this scare you. And I know we've been doing tithing most of the month, and it's not meant to raise money. It's meant really to make you aware of what promises and what things are there for you to benefit you as a tither. So, you guys, if I want everyone to repeat after me. I know that most of us in here are tithers, but somebody may not, and I don't want anyone to feel uncomfortable, so I want everyone to repeat after me. Lord God, I am willing to tithe everything that comes to me for the next 3 months. So I can get on God's plan. I'm going to ask you, my notes. Okay, and then here's the rest of it. Dear God, I know that you own everything. That your resources are there for me. I'm willing to tithe of all that comes to me. And I will trust you to keep your promise to return back everything that I give so I can give even more. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we want to get more back. And I know I didn't give the verse where God he says in his word to test him. So if you guys can give, if you want to really try this, you want to really see if it works, he tells us to test him. And see if he doesn't open the window and pour out a blessing. But he will give it all back to you. I can tell you from living it. So I want to leave you with this. Ecclesiastes 11:4. Farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. So how I read that with this is we can't wait till it's perfect. We can't wait to start tithing when we feel like the bills are caught up or we feel like, oh, the car payment's made this month. Let me start tithing right now. No, you just have to start. You just have to do it, and you'll see that God will bless you, and God will make all those things, all your needs and wants happen.